station number 11213, reel 5.
Mr. Lamb, tape 5. Just before we move on further about the Sudan, Mr. Lamb, did you meet with Indian troops in India?
Well, we never contacted any Indian troops, whatever. The only time we had any contact with any Indians was... They weren't troops, actually. They were more or less, we call them the RAF, for instance, up in Kirky, when I was sent on a saddle escort up to Kirky from Bombay. And there was two of our chaps also went up on ferry escorts to be attached to the Royal Artillery, who were stationed at Kirky. The Summerside Light Infantry happened to be in stationed at Pune at the same time. And I went up on the saddler's course, and they had what they call an Indian. He wasn't a troop or anything. He was good at saddle, making saddles and that. He was a masterpiece at it. And of course, the corporal, Royal Artillery corporal, he was in charge. He used to make the saddles and repair the saddles and make suitcases and all sorts. Repair the harness for the Royal Artillery horses.
Did you do any manoeuvres at all with them? You didn't do any exercises or training?
Nothing, no exercises or whatever. I was there just to learn how to repair harness for the mules which were used in India. And of course, as it turned out, it was a waste of time because, as a matter of fact, the mules is on the way out then. And... Mechanisation was coming into force.
The Indian troops you did see, what were they like?
Well, from what were you seeing of them? The Indian troops still were attached to the British Army. I couldn't say. You had your Sikhs, you had your Punjabs, and no certain served with the British Army, attached to them. More or less. In the frontier. But as far as Bombay was concerned, we were more or less on our own.
About what time did you arrive in the Sudan?
We were around about early 37.
Now you mentioned to me on the last...
I have the actual date in my discharge book, which I will give... Mr. Moses, the whole lot, when, next time he comes. All right?
You mentioned to me on the last tape that you had to take tablets at breakfast time. What kind of tablets were they?
They were yellowish tablets, and I understood them to be meclipine tablets. I'm not sure that they were, but we had to take one of these tablets every morning. On parade. We were lined up on parade. Every man had to take one because there was times that men didn't take them and all that. And we made to swallow them tablets in front of an NCO.
Was that against malaria or some form of disease?
I don't think it was against malaria. It must have been against something else, a disease more serious than what malaria was. Of course, malaria was popular in India, and we also inoculated against malaria and all that. As far as I'm concerned, I think I had every needle under the sun. But cholera, malaria, you name it, we had it. I think I was made immune to anything.
You said reveille in the Sudan was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Was there any reason for that early time?
Well, as you know, Sudan, a very hot, dry climate. It is considered to be one of the hottest stations, except another place, around the Aden area, which is more or less one of the hottest places for British to serve in. And there was to be between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing that happened was he used to come around with a bucket of gunfire. What we called hot tea, it was known as gunfire then. And every man had to drink a good pot of that. That's the first thing. Then you parade it and march down to the butts, which was just about a mile away, something like that, because it was nice and cool at that time. It was cool. No? And nice and cool. And you used to fire your course, fire target packets and all that. Then come back to barracks. Then you'd have breakfast. But guard duty still went on. That was a thing that had to go on. The guard duties for the battalion, and also guard duties for the palace, for the governor's palace. Now, I have no idea who was governor of the palace then when I was there. I'd forget who it was, but there must have been one there while we were there. And there was them duties to cover. Now, fortunately for me, as I remarked before, I did plenty of guard duties in India. Of course, I was a rookie out there, as far as when I went out. But on arrival at the Sudan, I had no sooner landed there, and I was transferred from company duties to signal duties, to the signal section, for signal, to learn signals. I don't know why, but I and a few more of my pals, and from maybe about a dozen of us, maybe 12 to 15, some from our companies, some from other companies, transferred the signals to learn signal. The signal
what duties. Kind of equipment did you use as signalists?
Well, the first thing you started on was learn the alphabet. You had to get the alphabet off by heart. And as a matter of fact, I could go through the alphabet up to 2 or 3 years ago.
Is this with flags?
Pardon?
Is this with flags?
No, verbally. Yes, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, Y, Z. That's as much as I think I've got the majority of it right there, I think. For all I'm going to put AV in it.
And after you've done that?
Then, you started on the semaphore. That was the first one you started with, using the semaphore flags. Letter A with the flags and B, C, right through the alphabet. You learned that off, and then you had to start and send messages from one to another. Say, within a reasonable distance, by semaphore, messages. And you also, you'd be on the receiving end once, take them down, and you'd be on the sending end as well. Then you had to pass that. That was the first. Then the next one was heliograph. That was by a lamp, by the sun. You had to hear it, dot, dash, flick, 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 flick. You had to go through that. Of course, heliograph, you had to be, with a design, it was more or less dead flat. Now, as far as heliograph concerned, you did do it in Khartoum, like, where there was many sides, but there wasn't much. And to get any way of it. And then we went up to the borders of Ethiopia, which is a place called Kassala, I think it was. And there was hills there, big hills. No. And we went in huts there, amongst the fuzzy wuzzies. And the Qualtho, Harry Qualtho, who was a signal sergeant. Corporal Lewis was a corporal. And Big John Bolland, he still gets the reunion there yet, to the present day. I met him, Big John, at the reunion. Unfortunately, I didn't see him this year, but I think he was there, but I've met him every year up to now that I've been there. John Bolland, he was a lance corporal.
And did you have a signals officer?
Yes, we had a signals officer, but I'm not sure whether it's Jeffries. I'm not sure of the name, who he was. Yes, you had a signals officer, like everything else. And
what did you do in the hills?
Well, that's where the heliograph came in. Because there was a party went up in the hills, and there was mountain lions on them hills, eh? And I was one of the ones that was left on the bottom to receive the messages. And also we had to send them back as well. Now this is Swahili country. And as a matter of fact, that's how we learned heliograph, by the sun. Set the lamp, the two lamps, one face the other, like two mirrors, round mirrors. And used to switch and used to lit up to, and the other way, worked like that, by the sun. And as a matter of fact, the section that was up in the mountains, they got the sun's lost nearly up there and there. Couldn't find a way back down. They eventually landed back.
You didn't have telephone or radio at this stage?
Oh, yes, we had the button and...
Morse code,
press button and the wire and earphones. Used to earphones then. No such thing as what they have to present you. Used to stretch the wire out, chop the other end and earphones on. You had the thing at the other end. I just forget what it was, only like a, just a dot, 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 and you used to do that. That's as much as we had then. It wasn't as far advanced as it is at the present day then.
Were you involved in any major exercises in the Sudan?
Well, more or less, no. That's all we did. There was the heat and all that. I never seen any exercises take part there. Because it was that hot. After gunfire. Now, we in the signals, there was no strenuous exercise as far as the signals was concerned. We used to go out and sit in the desert, just sit on the sand and just a pair of shorts and a vest on, and sit in the shade somewhere, if there was any. We used to pick shady places, that's trees out there in various areas, like we sit. We used to work there, sitting down and all that. No, nothing strenuous about it.
What was your accommodation like?
Accommodations, we were billeted in proper barracks.
Do you remember the name of the barracks?
I'm afraid I can't. Kalama Barracks was in India, but they were the same type of barracks in Khartoum. Brick buildings. And they were damn good barracks. Just the same type as what India was. Of course, I must have been there years. And very, very comfortable billets. Of course, you had your fan system, this is what you had in India. You had your mosquito nets, what you had in India. When you went to bed, you put a mosquito net over you. And then, because that's where the mosquitoes used to come out, nighttime mainly. You had the likes of that. During the day, you used to, after breakfast, say after 8 o'clock, parades were finished, everything was finished. And it was all more or less the exercise today was sport, say after 4 p.m., when it started to get put in cool.
What kind of sport did you indulge in?
Well, all sorts. Hockey, football, running. You just do your cross-country and all this. football, every swimming, I don't know, swimming matter, every sport available we should do.
Did you get into the city or the town?
No, there was Khartoum. There was nothing in Khartoum itself for us. And then the village Omdurman, where the big battle was just about, say, 3 or 4 miles from Khartoum. And it was out of bounds, that place. They had caught out, well, more or less, there was nothing in Khartoum for a soldier at all. Nothing at all. All the entertainment was in barracks. The band used to play, come out at night and play on the in the area of the barracks where there was shade and all. You had your trees around there and the band used to play. And you had it's my first experience of an open air picture hall. It was open air and there was just forms for seats. And that was, they used to be on the stairs, dark when it was dark. And open air, what do you call an open air picture hall? My first experience of an open air picture hall.
Did you have a canteen?
Yes, we had our canteen. Same as anything else. They were more or less, Khartoum was more or less a regimental, say, settlement in the battalion area for the battalion barrack area.
Did the clan...
As a matter of football, they used to wear about 4 football fields of grass. Now, there used to be a channel run right round these football fields. And when you played on them, say, 5 or 6 times, the grass used to be wear out. And then it used to be put out of bounds. And these channels went round the side for water running through, and that field used to be flooded out of bounds until the grass came again. Then they switched to the other one, which was in vogue. Other times, you played football on the sand. And you also played against natives, eh?
You played against native teams?
The same as you did, didn't you?
Was there any other regiments posted in Khartoum?
No, I don't know what they were, but I think we played against them there. I'm not sure. Like we did in India.
What about the climate, Mr. Lamb? Was there any sickness due to the climate?
Very little. That never affected me. You may see fellows even... It never happened in India, like sunstroke and like fellas getting what you call breaking out in sores all over their body, which happened in Egypt one day later, and it happened in Sudan. By gosh, if you were caught without your topi on, anything like that, outside, for Egypt. But when we off duty, we just go in, line the barrack, and absolutely nothing else.
So you wouldn't have much contact with the civilians in Sudan?
No civilians. We hadn't. I can't remember having any what you call boot boys and all that like we had in India, doing work for you inside your bullets. I think you had to do your own.
There weren't any problems with the civilians, no riots or anything of that nature?
No, I never experienced it. No. The battalion did have a march around Khartoum, but I don't think I was on that parade because the signals more or less weren't affected and things like that.
Do you have any recollections of any officers at this time who were... difficult to get on with?
No, as far as I was concerned, when I was in the company, you more or less had your company office to deal with, only, and your RSN, and company sergeant major. That's the only ones you dealt with. Unless you caught doing anything out of an area, which wasn't in their vicinity. And as far as the signals are concerned, well, that was that. I remember, I'm nearly sure it was Khartoum, when I was transferred to signals. Corporal Lewis, yes, it was. Because I happened to be room only. And I used to play football for signals. And so he said, you're on the team. Well, I said, how about room only? Well, he says, we'll get somebody to stand in for you. Well, while I was playing football, so you had to go around in the barracks and where's the room only? Well, he's playing football. I got 7 days CB for that.
And that would be the usual kind of CB you would giving jobs within the barracks?
Yes, room only. You had to do that. Because anywhere abroad, there was always a room only.
You didn't have any of the natives coming in and attempting to steal as you had in India?
No, we had nothing like that, and I can't remember anything like that. Not in Khartoum. Any natives, they weren't allowed in the area.
You would leave the Sudan, Mr. Lamb, about the end of October 1937. How did that come about and what happened to you?
That's right. Well, at the Sudan, there was only one battalion stationed in the town. There wasn't any, just the one battalion. Now, our tour of duty at the Sudan happened to be approximately 9 months. Now, there was one regiment. Now, the regiment that followed us would probably do 18 months. That's the way it went, vice versa. Now, when our tour of duty was up in the Sudan, now that was the finish of the 2nd Battalion's tour of duty abroad, because they had been abroad but going on 15 to 20 years, right round India, etc. And they used to do one battalion abroad and one battalion at home. Well, this was the 2nd Battalion, which I joined from after joining up, and their tour of duty was completed. Therefore, the 1st Battalion was due to come out and take over tours of duty abroad from them. Consequently, when we were ready for embarking at Sutton and leave Khartoum, we went down to Port Shores, I'm not sure. Then went down there, and happened two boats in. The 1st Battalion boat, which was the Dilwara, with the 1st Battalion on, coming out, already on. Now, the boat that had left, probably had left India, due for home, had probably brought from India the battalion that was due to take over from us in Khartoum, the same as we had done. Now, this is what I'm presuming. Therefore, now, there was one boat one place, another boat another place. Dilwara one place, and one of the Devonshire Shire boats, troop ships, was at another place. See, side by side, probably, or not far each other. Now, when we marched down to the docks, wherever it was, now, men transferring from the 2nd Battalion to the 1st Battalion, that side, second Italian men going home. That side. Now, that's who you phoned up. Then we said, while we've been standing around like waiting, we said goodbye to our pals, who knew we was going to go. I was going to leave us. We've been pals with me there, quite a few of mine, including Arthur Willis and etc. And quite a few. We said, well, goodbye, lad. God knows where we'll meet again. I'm off to China. You're going to Blighty. So.
Did you have any notion up to that time that you were going to be going with the 1st Battalion?
Well, it was on account of your service. Now, anyone with over 5 years' service was it was a waste of time sending them to China with only maybe 18 months to do. 18 months and a couple of years to do. I had about 3 years. Quite a few. From 3 to, say, maybe up to 5 years, you could possibly go to China. So I knew I was one that would go to China. I'm quite a few was dead. I knew that. I didn't expect to go home, unless it was for special reasons. So I was prepared, already knew I'd be going to China. So I arranged, said goodbye, lad, I'll see you. I'll be going. That's it. And we said our goodbyes. Then I joined the Delwara, went under the Delwara. And second, my mates from the rest of the 2nd Battalion, my mates up there, joined the boat for home, for Blighty, which was Devonshire. That's the way it was. Now, when we got on the Delwara, the 1st Battalion was all on the end. The battalion of the 1st Battalion was all in here. Now we were joining them. And we were right. Join on, you're all nominated which company you were in. Lam, you're going to your company. You know where you've got to go to. Such and such a deck, such and such a place. Report to CSM. So I'll be waiting for you when you get on. Any man for A company over here? Down here. See company over here. All there. Then they went over, joined your company. That's the way it worked out. Now, there was 4 second lieutenants already who had come from England. No, they were on the Navassa with us, they joined us in India. Now, them second lieutenants also went to China with us. Because they just went out on the Navassa with us to India previously.